Do werewolves enjoy squeaky toys just like dogs do? If crystal balls can really see the future, why was I allowed to bring one into the casino? All of these questions you can find the answer to on This Paranormal Life! Hello everyone and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week, me, Rory Powers, and this guy, Kit Greer Mulvenna, investigate a brand new paranormal case and come to a conclusion at the end to decide whether it truly is paranormal. We've seen it all, folks. Ghosts, UFOs, cryptids. And today, let me tell you, I have a fantastic case in store. You know, we say that this podcast is comedy and paranormal combined together. This time, we're taking out the comedy. Look, we've just had a lot of great stories on this podcast recently. A lot of funny ones, though, where there's a lot of comedy. I think it's been a while since we've dived into a case that I find genuinely terrifying.
Yeah, okay, I will give you that. There is definitely people who come here to listen to This Paranormal Life, ourselves included. Part of what we love about the paranormal is the genuinely spooky bit, the YouTube video you're watching at 1 a.m.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you're like, I need to put a nightlight on. I need a palate cleanser. I need to go watch some cartoons or something.
Well, hopefully you guys are excited for a spooky episode of This Paranormal Life. Of course, if you want to support the show and get access to the even spookier episodes that are so scary, we had to put them behind a paywall. You can head over to patreon.com/thisparanormallife. This podcast is entirely community funded by you guys. So if you want to support the show and get a bunch of cool extra shit, the best way to do that is over there. Check it out and listen to some extra episodes today. The date is April 13th, 1986, and we're in Horicon, Wisconsin, a small city nestled just west of Lake Michigan. It was a big day for 32-year-old Alan Tallman, his wife Deborah, and their kids, because today was the day they were set to move into their new home, a small but modest bungalow located on South Larrabee Street. The car rolled up into the driveway, packed full of everything they needed to begin their new life.
Oh, Alan, it's perfect.
Well, it better be. I'm hoping if all goes well, we're going to be living in this house for a long time.
Yeah, unless it's haunted.
I'll get my things.
Little did Alan and Deborah know, they would barely make it 2 years before they had to move. They were about to have their lives changed forever, and it all started when they purchased a second-hand bunk bed. That's right. The family purchased a bunk bed at a second-hand furniture store and placed it in their basement until it was fixed up and ready to be put in the children's room. But this bed, an object that would typically be used to acquire sweet dreams, would be the cause of bitter nightmares. Nightmares that blurred the dream world with the world of reality, driving this family slowly but inevitably insane.
Good Lord, man.
In their defense, when it comes to typical haunted items, bunk beds aren't on the list.
No. But I will say that your life being ruined, losing your sanity over the course of weeks, days, and months, and just existing in misery are common side effects of using Facebook Marketplace.
Right, that's going to happen. I mean, if you go to an antique shop or a secondhand store, and you're trying to avoid cursed objects, what are you steering clear of? A weird little monkey paw.
Yeah.
Human bones.
Yeah, even
glowing amulets.
Yeah, even maybe like a kind of like a ancient Chinese vase that just looks a little too old.
Yeah, that's saying bye.
Is that made of jade or is that bone? Like things like that.
You should be able to tell the difference.
Bone?
Between jade and bone.
I don't know.
So if you're trying to play it safe and you're like, look, I don't wanna take any risks here. We'll just take the bunk beds. And the guy behind the desk goes, fools!
So what was that?
So fool price, unfortunately, not included in the sale. Morons.
What was that?
More on the second floor. Do you want to look at more antiques? Idiots.
What did you say?
Idiot, that's a lot of bed. Twice as much as a normal bed. That's what you get with the bunk.
Yeah, I would say if you're the creepy cursed item seller, wait till they hand over the cash until you start doing the fool's speech. Do you want to see the bunk bed?
Yeah, I do.
There's really not much to see. I'll show it to you now. That's one of the only photos I could find.
Ooh, this photo was taken in hell. It was taken in the sixth layer of Dante's Inferno.
It's just the saturation's very high.
Jesus, the color.
It is glowing.
It looks like the mattress is made of magma. Good Lord, man. look at the light fixture in the hallway.
If you want to know how like orange and weird and Aztec this photo is, it looks like the interior decorations of a cheesecake factory.
Yeah.
Well, the bunk bed was moved into the children's bedroom, and immediately the atmosphere in the house shifted. Two of their children, Danny and Marianne, began falling ill so frequently that they were reportedly visiting the doctor 1 to 2 times a week. Now, the sickness was pretty typical for children. An ear infection here, some chicken pox there. But it didn't stop at the kids. Their father, Alan, also started getting ill. While in the house, he suffered from sinus infections, coughing, throwing up, and at one point, he even had trouble breathing.
This is giving allergies. This is giving, like, this... I don't think the bed is made of bones. Let's get that out of the way. But is it made of some kind of rare, hyperallergenic wood?
Hey, that's a good jumping off point. Because, of course, by this point, the family hadn't been in the home for that long. So they figured it could actually be the house itself.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe either a mold problem or even asbestos in the ceiling. But after being surveyed by a building inspector, they were told the house was fine. Well, honey, you heard the building inspector. There's nothing wrong with the house. I guess our family are just weaklings. But unfortunately for the Tallmans, things were about to get much worse. One night, their son Danny was fast asleep when his parents' old clock radio turned on by his bedside.
Huh? What the heck?
Danny watched in disbelief as the radio began switching channels in front of him, completely by itself. In a panic, he ran into the living room to alert his parents.
Mom! Dad! Something's happening in my room!
Danny, what are you still doing awake?
There's something wrong with the radio!
Get back to bed, mister!
So he did. He went back to his room, closed his eyes, and then he heard it again. The radio turned on and began scanning channels by itself. I gotta say, if this happened to me as an adult man, I would be terrified. So I think Danny is holding it together reasonably well.
This did happen to me! I told the story on the podcast! For Christ's sake.
That is, I do remember you telling this story about
it
a radio.
It happened to me, yeah.
Yeah.
In 2021, I think.
Yeah.
I was staying, I can tell you, I was staying at the Best Western Venice Beach, I think. And we woke up at like 2 a.m. with one of those old school digital alarm clocks just going like...
Oh, God.
We jumped out of that bed so fast, just like, oh, God damn it. You know whenever just the adrenaline hits of something weird? It's like when you feel a bug on your neck and you just go... And you jump out of bed. You jump out of bed. And then, like, it's very hard to get to sleep after that. But we were definitely shaken. And I gave the room, you know, I obviously have to go fiance mode where I go, oh my God!
Sorry, babe. Let me see if there's a bat around here or something. I can go see if anyone's broken into the room.
Right.
You know, and I'm like trembling and I walk around. I don't see anything. We did survive the night, but we were very shaken by this. I don't think that hotel's there anymore.
Whoa.
I don't think that's there.
Damn.
What does this mean?
I mean, okay, so it's good to know that you've had a very similar experience. You can put yourself in the shoes of these people today. It's good to know. We can't always do that.
Let's investigate my story. All right,
no,
Jack.
We have a ton of stuff to get through here.
Hi, Jack. Let's go. What are you talking about? Haunted bed bunks?
Sounds like your story's done.
I've just forgotten how insane that was. And I just moved past it because I was trying to have a nice time because I think I proposed to Danielle a few days later. So I was like,
out of fear,
I was like,
to appease the spirit.
I was like, Me, give a guy a break. I'm like, every time I try to get down on one knee, the ghosts are like, yoink. They like steal the ring, make it float around the room. I'm trying to grab it back.
I like to think, yeah, this is crazy because I actually proposed to Danielle like 3 days earlier with a ring I got in an antique shop.
Made of bone.
Made of bone.
You know what's cheaper than diamond? Cursed bone.
Yeah. Well, his parents ended up unplugging the radio and removing it from Danny's room, unaware that they had just had their first experience with poltergeist activity. Danny wasn't the only one struggling to sleep at night. That summer, the two daughters, Marianne and Sarah, began waking up in the middle of the night crying, unable to fall back asleep. Occasionally, when the parents came to check on them, they heard the children talking to a third person, giggling and whispering in the night. One night in late November, Debbie, the mother, was tucking Marianne into bed when she noticed she looked a little distressed.
"What's the matter, honey? You're not tired?"
Marianne replied, There was a fire in my room last night." Confused, Debbie replied,
"A fire? Are you sure?"
"I saw it. It was in the corner, right where she was standing. The woman who watches me sleep." Kids, pack your things. Pack your lights on. Yep, now come on. Get up. Get up. We're getting out of here. Everyone grab one canister of gasoline and just start pouring. Daddy's got the matches. Yeah, it's over. We're done. These visions of fire continued for Marianne, often crying out that she saw the doors and windows of the house on fire.
There's no way this is connected to the bunk bed. I don't even know.
I don't know.
Bunk beds probably are low-key ancient. because like, I associate bunk beds with like the army. Or something, you know, it's like a barracks. You got a small amount of space. Everyone's on top of each other. But it feels weirdly modern. It feels weirdly like they were actually invented in like 1962.
It feels we're kind of used to them now. I assume at the time, the guy who originally drew the blueprints for this was put in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
He lost his mind one day at a business meeting and they were like, "All right, who's got the next idea?" And he's at the bottom of the table like,
"Yeah.
Everyone has a bed, right?" No, you know, yeah. "Put another bed on top of it." They're trying to hold him back, be like, no, hey, that's a bad idea. "Do it. Two children in one bed."
It's like children, the people who notoriously piss the bed constantly. You want to put a pissy bed on top of another bed?
The little fragile things, you want to put one of them at the height of a second bed? That's a terrible idea. And yet, it took off, and now we're used to it. I had bunk beds when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Top bunk, baby!
At some point, yeah, we know you'd be a bully. Bullied your little brother out of not going to top bunk. It's true. I do have fond memories of playing games of Yu-Gi-Oh cards on like a school trip in bunk beds.
Yeah, so you know, maybe this is the original bunk. We don't know. The first one.
I'm just saying, why did the ghost come from a bunk bed? I don't like. Is she like a rare Pokemon that's trapped in a Pokeball?
We're gonna get onto theories later. Right now, we still have more of the mystery to unravel. As I said, these visions of fire continued for Marianne, often crying out that she saw the doors and windows of the house on fire. She could barely sleep at night, screaming that when the lights were turned out, the man behind the door would attack her. Now, Debbie the mother decided it was best if she didn't tell the rest of the kids about the night fires and door predators. The last thing she needed was more kids in this house that couldn't sleep. But 1 month later, Danny ran into their room in the middle of the night crying. When asked about what was going on, he quietly replied, "It's the old woman watching me while I sleep. She's 4 foot tall, with long black hair, and her eyes, they glow like fire." To make matters worse, it wasn't just the kids that were seeing things. Alan the father was also getting repeatedly ill, and on a number of occasions, claimed to see the house and its garage engulfed in flames that quickly disappeared. These hauntings went on for so long that I have to condense them down into a list. So here is some of the craziest stuff that happened in this house. For example,
Debbie would hear the garage door open and close by itself. There were strange voices that would call out from empty rooms. Even Alan's mother, while visiting, woke up from a nap on the sofa to see a pair of red glowing eyes peering at her from outside the window. Debbie started having violent nightmares, something she'd never experienced before moving into the house. In some dreams, the children were kidnapped or drowned in a river. In another dream, she dreamt that intruders came up from the basement, lined the family against the wall, and shot them.
Did they? Are we leaving out a large like portion? These people all have PTSD. Did they escape a war zone? Was their previous home a war zone?
These are normal church-going people who had never experienced anything like this before.
Yeah, I mean, you say church-going like it's a good thing. It's like, oh, church, the place where we learn about fiery demons in hell forever and eternity.
The only extra scary part about the dream that she had was that one morning, Alan discovered that someone had removed the basement window and propped it up against the wall of the house.
Oh, what? So someone has been inside?
When they searched the house, nothing was stolen and no evidence was left behind. The window had just been removed and placed at the side of the house.
Yeah. As Kurt Cobain says, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not watching you.
At one point, the family were driven insane by what sounded like mice running around inside the walls.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's just an old house.
Which would also explain why the Tallman's pet cat went literally mad. She would run around the house full speed and crash into walls.
This is like when I said a pig went insane and you wouldn't move past it. The cat went mad.
The cat went mad. Luckily, I think...
The pig had to be shot in the head, yeah.
They just got rid of the cat.
It's not better.
Which is incredibly sad. I would rather lose the house than the
got
cat.
Got rid.
Yeah. After all of this insanity, Alan and Debbie could find no other explanation. Their house was haunted. And typically, we'd say the best way to handle a haunted house is to burn it down and move on. But this place is already burning. It's burning in their dreams. This house loves fire, apparently. So they did the next best thing. They turned to their pastor, Reverend Wayne DeBratz of Stephen's Lutheran Church.
I can sense evil in this home. Maybe it's the echoes of pain rippling through the house by those who were harmed many years before. Or maybe it's the weird bunk bed you guys brought into the house a couple years ago. All I know is, no evil spirit is stronger than the power of the Lord.
Reverend DeBratz blessed the house and even gave the family religious music tapes to play, I guess, full volume, to scare out the bad. He also asked them to pray, read Bible passages, and attend church every Sunday.
Yeah, which is kind of just like that's like when the doctor says, like, yeah, and walk 10,000 steps a day, eat a balanced diet, and have an apple a day.
Yeah, go to church, read some Bible passages, and every night before bed, watch 3 episodes of VeggieTales.
It's like brushing your teeth twice a day. It's like, yeah, sure, but it's not illegal not to.
Yeah, exactly. You can kind of get away with it until you can't get away with it anymore and you start to see fire.
Yeah.
It gets pretty bad. I'm always reminded that I had a very unique upbringing when I have to explain to people what VeggieTales is. Mm-hmm. They don't actually believe that it exists. That at one point in the 90s, I guess, there were educational CGI Bible stories where all of the characters were played by vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, Moses would be like a tomato begging the carrot Pharaoh to free his lettuce.
Yeah. There's something...
Let us people go.
Very nice.
Nice.
There's something so insidiously like neoliberal about VeggieTales. Like there's something just like, it just kind of screams like when a vision is so utopian, it comes full circles 360 around to being dystopian.
Yeah.
This is borderline North Korean levels of propaganda to like give children a good education. Let's get cucumbers to teach them about Jesus. Children are smart. Children are smart. Just tell them the real story. Tell them about the Bible. If you really want them to learn about the Bible, the Bible's fine. The Bible, there's even versions of the Bible for kids, which kind of gets rid of some of the ugly, dark stories and just tells them the nice ones. That's fine. Also, kids are smart. Just Let them eat vegetables. Vegetables are tasty. That's fine. We don't need cartoon vegetables to lead the Jews through the desert to safety. Good Lord.
Yeah. For a guy in a planning meeting to go, we want to teach kids about the Lord. What do kids love? Vegetables? Yeah, let's make a tomato talk. This is going to be great. I also, I remember reading about this. There's something funny about it, which is they have to pick very specific stories from the Bible because it is offensive to depict Jesus in...
Like, what vegetable was he?
In the form of a vegetable. They were like, I think that's blasphemy. So like, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the guys in the Bible, they can all be vegetables.
Yeah.
But we can't, Jesus, I don't think he was ever in any of them. Yeah. He might have just been a guy. I don't remember. Unfortunately, Reverend DeBratz was mistaken. Whatever this demonic energy was, it was going toe-to-toe with the man upstairs. One night, Danny was sleeping on the living room couch because at this point he was too afraid to sleep in his room anymore. He awoke around 3:30 a.m. and spotted a figure standing by the family's Christmas tree. He knew immediately she was back, the old woman. He asked her what she wanted, but she just stood there in silence, staring at him. Danny said that she appeared to him three times that night, each time getting bigger. By the time morning rolled around, his mother came downstairs and discovered him lying on the sofa, paralyzed with fear.
Whoa.
That is scary. I don't like that at all. The concept of seeing something in the corner that visits you throughout the night and every time you wake up gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, and it's easy to think, you know, how scary can it be, guys? Yeah, well, we all remember the face in Insidious.
Yeah.
The red and black face.
I feel like I've woken up before and thought I've seen something in my room. Like maybe like I've hung up a hoodie on a wardrobe door and it looks like a f***ing guy hanging there.
In 20 seconds, said, oh, a hooded man. And he just hung up your hoodie. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is a very strange like bolt of adrenaline you get in a moment like that.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you're reacting before you even understand. Your brain kind of goes into autopilot. And to experience that as a child, that is terrifying. Alan was essentially reaching his breaking point. He'd become so afraid for his family, he didn't know what to do. One night, on Monday, January 11th, Alan's 16-year-old brother, Jonathan, was watching the kids while Alan was working late. Jonathan had always been a skeptic, so babysitting a couple of kids in a haunted house didn't seem like a big deal to him at the time. But when Alan came home, his brother was ice white. Jonathan said that around 8 p.m., while lying on the floor, he saw a horrifying dark figure that multiple members of the family had claimed to have seen just a few nights before. As it moved towards him, it said, "Now you're involved!" And then melted into the floor.
Oh, I mean, it's a little clinical. Yeah, not very romantic, but to the point and a little unnerving. You know, it just feels like, you know, like the movie It Follows. You know, it's like that dread of activated the curse, f***ing sake.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That ghost never said, "Now I'm following you." You know, you kind of don't have to say it. That actually makes it a little less scary.
They probably cut that line from the movie, yeah.
Like if the witch earlier to Danny was like, "I'm going to get a little bigger every time you wake up." It's like, it's less scary if you say the thing you're going to do.
That's right.
For the record, this is how I CC Kit on a work email. Yeah. I add his email address and say, "Now you're involved."
Yeah.
And I kind of disappear into the background and don't check my email for a couple of days.
Yeah, this is the ghost version of sent from my iPhone. It's like, unnecessary, a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like everyone, all the ghosts go in and they change the dialogue. They're like, "I don't need to say that. I don't need to say, 'Now you're involved.'" It's a little on the nose, don't you think?
The Talmans decided to leave the house while Reverend DeBratz and another pastor came back to conduct another house cleansing ritual. Fire up the veggie tails. Let's hear about the burning bush. You know, we need to, the last one didn't work, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But by this point, it was too late. Not only had the nightly hauntings gotten worse and worse, but news had spread to the rest of the town. Neighbors were spreading rumors about portals to hell and blood dripping from walls. So many people came to see the house that at one point, the police had to briefly barricade the street just to keep people away.
Wow. Good lord.
You know, even though it's a dark and scary thing, people are into that. It's like, you know, when people slow down to see a car crash.
I was going to say, yeah, it's not conscious. I mean, it's just, yeah, we can't look away, yeah. Sadly, from a car crash.
It would really suck, though, if you were like, have you heard about this house? You kind of walk over to it. You're like, that's crazy, man. Get out your iPhone, snap a quick picture, and you just hear, now you're involved. Like, for the photo? Because I took a picture? Oh,
yeah, that's why. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, maybe ask for permission next time before you want to take a picture. Yeah. On January 21st, Police Chief Doug Glamon contacted Allen and convinced the Talmans to come to the police station and discuss their experiences. After meeting with them, Chief Glamon believed that they were telling the truth about what they'd been witnessing. So on January 25th, he and two other officers visited the empty house. Now, they didn't experience any of the specific poltergeist activity that the family witnessed. However, when they were in the house, the phone did ring a few times, and when answered, the line was dead. Even when they disabled the receiver, the phone continued to ring. Just a little mysterious.
Hold on.
Bit there.
That doesn't make any sense.
Brother, either does the growing witch.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this that doesn't make sense.
I don't know what's going on there.
In the end, Reverend DeBratz and the Talmans believed that for some reason, all of this demonic poltergeist activity was being caused by the bunk bed.
Why? What? It could have been that. You said it yourself. There's no reason why it couldn't be the house. Like, yeah, they got the bunk bed, but that was just the first piece of furniture they probably bought.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know, there are some theories, but it does feel like they're using the bunk bed to not have to deal with a lot of other issues.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, you know, we've all been really mad at each other and short-tempered and getting sick and having a really hard time. I think it's the bunk bed. It's got to be the bunk bed, right? That's the only way that this makes any sense.
I'm not saying it's definitely not, but it does feel like if there's a scientific process of elimination going on here,
sure.
We as outsiders don't feel especially convinced right off the bat.
Yeah.
That this is, that makes sense.
This would be like me getting to the end of the year and my family are holding an intervention for me. And it's like, you are a borderline alcoholic. You never answer your phone. You owe half the people in this room money. What do you have to say for yourself? And I'm like, I honestly think it's the damn Apple Watch. It's the app. I got it in January, and that's when this started.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must be. There's no other explanation. It's kind of maybe like you're just pointing at something to explain away a lot of other weird shit.
But then I don't want to get into the, speaking of gaslighting earlier, I don't want to get into the scientific gaslighting bullshit, okay, of where there's always at this point in the story, a guy in a lab coat comes in, examines the family quietly, and then the family's like, so what do you think it is? You know, and he's like, I haven't come to my conclusions yet. And then on the way out of the house, he just like whispers in the ear of the police chief, he's like, they are clearly suffering from stress. Yes, the move must have been very stressful for the family. I believe they are collectively seeing things.
Right.
It's like, you mother, you stay in that house. You sleep in that bunk bed, all right? You talk to the woman. No, you're involved. Like, I think you're the demon, mate. But sometimes, yeah, people will try to come to such a logical explanation that always just comes down to hysteria. Stress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be lead poisoning. You know, bullshit like that.
To explain why they believe it might be the bunk bed, they theorized that perhaps the bed had been used for cult practices.
That's like a very 80s explanation of them.
Perhaps a seance or a Ouija board session. And for some reason, it was still carrying with it dark, evil energy. I don't know. That doesn't really do it for me.
It's super, look, we did an episode on the Satanic Panic. This is very 80s coded. This was, it's really hard for us to wrap our heads around now because it seems so dumb. But people were very worried, particularly religious people, in the 80s due to a concerted campaign on behalf of religious groups against anything deemed to be satanic. That meant heavy metal, which was new at the time.
Sure.
Dungeons and Dragons, I think, caught a stray.
Yeah.
Just anything that was cool, basically.
Yeah.
And apparently bunk beds are now getting a bad rap.
Turn off the rock and roll music videos and stick on VeggieTales. You know? Yeah, bunk, but I don't really understand this because they're saying like, oh, it could have been involved in a seance or a Ouija board session. So it's not even the thing that would have been used. It was just like beside them while they did it. Just,
sat on the bed. Yeah.
I don't really know. And we honestly get no closer to discovering why this bed was a cursed object. But on February 13th, the Tallmans had the bunk bed destroyed and buried in an undisclosed location so that no one could ever be bothered by it again.
Just burn it. It's wood. Burn
it loves fire.
What? Yeah. But like burying it. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think they're just like, we want it destroyed, buried, return it to the earth, return it to hell from where it came.
Okay.
But that wasn't all. They wanted as far away from this thing as possible, so they moved out of their home on South Larrabee Street, leaving behind the House of Flames and the mysterious old woman. The good news is, it worked, and the Tallmans stopped experiencing any paranormal activity after this.
Crucial question is, did the next tenants of the house experience anything themselves?
I don't believe that they did. Tallmans moved out, new family moved in, and it has remained an unhaunted house ever since.
Yeah, and this is where in the horror movie, we always like to say, what is the horror movie version of this? This is where they walk off into the distance to their new home, happy, smiling, but then the camera does a freeze frame on the little girl's face and her eyes are like a demon's eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, shit, the spirit is in her.
Yeah, they're like driving away in the car and they're like, well, how about we stay in a hotel tonight? And the daughter's like, hey, Dad, how about a room without a bunk bed? They're all driving and the shot of like the car driving but the camera's like pounding down and there's an old woman hanging onto the bottom of the car like something like that, you know. Apparently it is unhaunted and the Tallmans left it behind. They didn't experience any paranormal activity after this, which led people to wonder what really happened, you know, whether or not the bed truly was the source of the evil, or let's talk about it. Were there some more logical explanations? Some skeptics believe that black mold or a gas leak was responsible for these experiences, which is valid. You know, those are two very scary, real things. But as I said, I think multiple times there were surveyors brought in to investigate the house and they didn't find anything.
Yeah, this is not quite on the scientific gaslighting, pun not intended, scale just yet. But yeah, it's worth a line of investigation. You know, it's like that Twitter user who iconically posted a couple of years back. I think they were like a Nicki Minaj stan account or something, and then they posted one day being like, "Hey guys, so." I had some people come to check out my apartment and it turns out it was full of black mold. It turns out I was having like a black mold induced psychosis and that's why I was posting so much about Nicki Minaj. It's like, yeah, since I've cleaned the apartment and got it all sorted out, I don't actually care that much about Nicki Minaj anymore. So I'm going to close this fan account. But it's like, yeah, how many people out there? There's a lot of people acting crazy in the world.
Yeah.
How many people are being affected by their homes?
I got pretty close to having an experience like this. The first house I ever lived at in London, hopefully I haven't told this story before, but it was the second floor of a two-apartment building. So there was an apartment below us on the bottom floor, and we were on the top floor, separate apartment. At one point in me living there, the entire bottom apartment was gutted. They wanted to do renovations, so they knocked down the front wall, knocked down the back wall, became like a wind tunnel underneath us. But our building was so old that my floor was just floorboards, really old floorboards with like holes in it that then now just looked down into the outside.
Outdoors.
So I would wake up and I could just see my own breath in the winter.
Because you
weren't inside anymore. There's holes in the ground.
You were glamping at best, yeah.
I was like a pirate. I was just walking the plank every day to get to work. And it went on so bad that because the moisture came in when it got really cold. And then there was like mold in the corners and stuff. And I remember it getting to a point where I was like, I've been sick for a while now. This feels bad. I feel bad in the mornings when I wake up. And I think it was me feeling the consequences of a bad house.
Yes.
I was also listening to a lot of Nicki Minaj at the time.
Something about black mold just makes you want to blast Starships by Nicki Minaj.
Now, obviously, I didn't see an old 4-foot woman or objects in my house bursting into flames.
Everyone knows there's no old people in London.
Yeah. So I can't say that I had a identical experience, but you know, your house, your environment can affect your psyche. Absolutely. On the skeptical side of things, there's a lot of neighbors that were, you know, on the same street as the Talmans that just simply didn't believe these claims. The couple across the road often stayed up late, but never saw anything unusual. Even the times where the Talmans had mentioned strange events happening at the house, no one else saw anything. That's not to say that it's not real, but just something to take into account. There are also skeptics that believe that this family made up the story for money. There's pros and cons to support this. I think some people are like, no, they didn't. Look at all the things they turned down because they wanted to be anonymous. And then other people are like, yeah, but they sold their story to be turned into a book and did inevitably make money off it. It's very hard to figure out if they actually did profit from this or their lives were completely shattered. It's kind of tough to tell. But even at the end of this story, even after years of investigations, we are no closer to unraveling the mystery and absolutely no closer to understanding why the f*** it was caused by a bunk bed.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's it. That's where we are. This is all we have to go on today.
You're hosting the case. Bring us home.
Okay. Conclusions?
No.
That's it.
You got to go first.
There's nothing else. The bed is buried in the ground somewhere at an undisclosed location. I think anytime the Talmans even appear on TV shows like Unsolved Mysteries, they're like, we want to be silhouetted. Like, that's how much this has affected us and we don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is just where we are today. This is where the story kicks us out.
Yeah. I'll say I do think some cool, weird stuff was happening. It's probably worth pointing out that most of the phenomena we have discussed today is actually not really poltergeist behavior in the classic sense. Poltergeist
Sure.
behavior would be normally classified as objects being thrown around a room, stuff that we could just snap a picture of, you know, a pen being left out. And then when you come back to the pen and paper, it says, "F you, bitch," you know, leaving cheeky Sure. messages around the house. A lot of what happened was visions, experiences in the night, stuff like that. I'm not saying this to say it's fake or a hoax. I'm actually saying it. I'm actually bringing it up to say that maybe, like our police chief friend, maybe they really did experience this in some psychological sense. You know, the kids are having the visions, they're having the nightmares, they're having these dreadful experiences. But it, you know, but it's not something we could snap a picture of.
Yeah, this is a really hard one to cover because if anyone doesn't know this case, you'll know that I have also excluded a Sure. ton of encounters that they had and a lot of other parts of the story because we even in this episode had to condense the list down. There were times where people saw rocking chairs moving by themselves. Yeah. A suitcase was thrown out from under a bed and then went right back into the bed.
Okay.
Things, objects remove around the house. At one point, there was a green fog that rolled in. They basically, it's like a horror film. The family were literally going insane and seeing just like a charcuterie board of madness.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to list all of those things. concisely in a dramatic way here on the podcast. So there was a little bit of poltergeist activity, but yes, a lot of the biggest stuff that I find most interesting is these bizarre hallucinations or not hallucinations.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you mostly counteracted my point there on account of me not knowing those things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop talking.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate that you can only make your conclusion off what I have said. And I hope you appreciate that I only have an hour to tell this story that originally was 20 pages long.
Sure.
And I finished it last night. So look, I don't think we need to talk a bunch at the end of this episode when it comes to conclusions. Kit, what are your thoughts today on the haunted bunk beds of the Tallman's house?
The haunted bunk beds. Hey, I'm here for a whimsical cursed item.
Sure.
I love a weird guy. I love the idea of a guy who bought an ancient Sumerian bunk bed made of jade and sold it to a family in Wisconsin. I love that. That's great. That's straight out of a B movie. But that's where kind of the fun ends, of course, and it became a horrifying experience for everyone involved. While we do love a good poltergeist case, and this is a good poltergeist case, we hit up against those same walls that we normally do, a kind of like, you know, somewhat lack of concerted effort to gather paranormal evidence where we kind of should have been able to.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a number of witnesses, I guess, but mostly within the one family unit. It's hard to come down on this very definitively and say this absolutely happened.
I wish this was just a haunted house. I wish they said there was a fire 100 years ago that killed a family.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing the fire now. And one of the family was a 4-foot-old witch for some reason. If it's gonna be about the bunk bed, I need the bunk bed to be weirder.
Yeah.
I need it to be made of bones. I need it to have been...
belonged to Ted Bundy.
Yeah. Some weird, crazy shit that explains it better. The fact that all of this is happening and the bunk bed is jammed in here, we just don't have enough to make sense of this. And we especially don't have enough physical evidence, video evidence, anything like that, which is really tough. Because I do love this story. I think it is very scary, genuinely very creepy. Hopefully we did it justice with some music and sound effects. As I said, it's always fun to do the stories that are a little scary and can give you guys a good spook, especially as we're heading towards spooky season and October. So with all that being said, I think today's case with the haunted bunk beds, it's going to be a no from me.
Is a no.
Ooh, it's a double no this week. Just goes to show you, doesn't matter if something's extra scary, that doesn't make it extra real.
Maybe something for us to think about as we embark on our UK tour this October in spooky season. We're going to be going around the UK, going around Ireland, investigating the paranormal live on stage. Tickets at thisparanormallifepodcast.com/tour. Links are in the description. You know, whenever we're traveling, we always got to stay somewhere, right? You know, you're in Manchester.
Yeah.
We've got to pick somewhere to stay. I think normally we'd stay in a budget hotel, you know, keep things pretty sensible, just somewhere to lay our heads at night, get up, travel the next day. I think let's go to a shitty hostel with bunk beds.
Oh,
that's the one place you can guarantee to find bunk beds and lots of them.
Yeah, that's not a bad point.
A dormitory with 16 bros backpacking around the UK. You could stay for these things for like £9 a night.
You're going to have a pretty haunting experience in one of those hostels, let me tell you.
Yeah, do you know how many Italian guys have jerked off in those bunk beds? Like, they are cursed. They are very, very cursed. More cursed than an ancient Chinese jade one.
Well, hey, I got another little idea for you. How about we be the madmen that come up with the next level? You add a third layer on top of that bad boy? You make the trunk bed.
Wow.
Yeah. You know that Phil and I have been experimenting quite a lot recently with the concept of double lunch, where you eat two lunches in one lunch break, also known as dunch. What if we make the trunk bed?
Yeah.
The triple bunk bed. It could work. And then...
It must have been done already, surely.
a trunk bed, do you think?
We'll find out it was a 1962 CIA experiment that went terribly wrong. They're like, all three people went mad instantly.
Whoa! Dude, not only has it been done, you can buy them. I mean, they do kind of look like the beds people stay in Squid Game.
Yeah, that's Mr. Beast coded.
Yeah, we're right getting there. A little dark here.
Because it's like, all right, I know that we're low on space in modern apartment living, but like if you have, how many kids do you have that we need all of your family to sleep in one vertical, like 2 meters squared area? Like surely the room, someone could sleep somewhere else.
That's our future, guys. Eating bugs and sleeping in trunk beds. And of course, at the end of every episode, we like to shout out some of the people that support us over on patreon.com. So, thank you so much to Krista Parandi.
Krista Parandi sounds like a really delicious and expensive Italian bottled sparkling water.
It does, actually.
Would you like the San Pellegrino or the Krista Parandi,
sir? Ooh.
Oh, Krista Parandi.
That sounds amazing.
What a treat.
Yeah.
I'll take two.
I'm not even a fizzy water guy, but I would have a sip of Krista.
So, Krista, I can only assume that you are as elegant and effervescent as your name suggests. If so, we're going to have to change that name in the commune. You'll be eaten alive, all right? We're savages and maniacs in the commune.
Yeah, we need to change your name to something a little more chill, like...
Bunk Trunkton.
Yeah. Riverwater Mucktown. Something like that, like the opposite of something you want to drink.
What's up? My name's Bonk. Not to be confused with bonk beds.
Or the new popular invention here, the commune, the quonk bed. Thank you so much, Trista, for your support. And thank you finally this week to Jamon Henderson. We've all heard of Pokemon, Digimon, and now there's Jamon.
Okay, so the other two are kind of monster-based life forms?
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that might carry through to Jamon?
Exactly right! You know, Digimon, you have your little digital pets. Pokemon, you've got your, like, fun and mysterious ones. Jamon is, like, kind of just like a beast. That if you even, like, tried to summon it in to fight for you, maybe it comes for the master.
Right, just utterly ruthless kind
it,
of...
It doesn't even know what it's doing. It doesn't even know what it is. I summoned a Jamon once and it just looked at its own hands for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just confused and scared.
Weird, man.
Yeah. And then it put me in the ball and walked around for 14 days.
I understand why this IP didn't become like a children's beloved kind of IP across the world with TV shows, toys. It sounds like weirdly like existential and...
Yeah, half the episodes would be the Jamon just wrestling Faustian. With consciousness, yeah. Trying to understand its place in the universe.
Yeah.
So you're like, Jamon, use Thunder Slash! And he's like staring at my hands being like, where was I before this? Yeah. Where do I go now? When I'm in the ball, does the world continue to exist without me? Yeah.
Man calls me the beast, but truly, through his actions, man has become the beast himself. Yeah.
All right, back in the ball. So thank you so much, Jamon. Thank you, everyone, for your support over on Patreon. We couldn't make this show without you. I hope you're enjoying all your amazing bonus Patreon content. And I hope we're going to see a ton of you, or have seen a ton of you, on tour while we're performing This Paranormal Life live. I hope you enjoyed this week's spooky episode of This Paranormal Life. And of course, we will be back next Tuesday with another paranormal tale. See you then!